Alan Quinn Productions presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 3, for Spring Semester 2017. Lecture 13, delivered on March 6, 2017. The title of this lecture is Review for Exam 1.
Today, review for Exam 1. Exam 1, like Exam 2, is 5 questions. You answer 4. If you answer 5, I will take off major points for you doing what I'm telling you not to. I have a student from last semester who's threatening to sue me because I graded all 5 of her questions, and so I'm not going to put up with that. I have 400 of you to grade. Don't try to put more on me than I can take. Seriously. Read the grading rubric that I have posted on ReggieNet. In other words, when you are doing these exams, you are going to be held to a writing standard that is professional. You don't use texting language, abbreviations of any kind. You are assuming that your audience, me, is well-educated but doesn't know this subject. So no text language, no ampersands instead of ands. You'll lose a point every time you do that. No abbreviations, and for God's sake, no funny things like, don't put LOL. I don't know this. LOL. Don't lol me. I've had people do that. You know, lol. One person drew a giraffe. He said, I can't answer this question, but here's a giraffe. My God, what the heck? You know? WTF. And I do have a bullshit stamp, and I just got it re-inked. So don't make me use it, because the re-inking takes a lot. You answer in 1 or 2 full sentences. You go to 3, you lose points, because the point, what I'm trying to get you to do here is to be able to answer questions that are put to you in the business environment in short, compact language. Your boss, and I get this all the time, and these executives say, I know your people come out of here because they're the ones who answer my question without going into a dissertation. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get you to do, is to answer the question without a lot of going around the barn to get to the outhouse. Don't ever give me a formula on an exam. I don't want to see your formula. The formula isn't an answer. A graph isn't an answer. I mean, you're taught like that is that really is the case, that graphs and formulas are answers, and they're not. Words give show me that you really know what you're talking about. Now, we obviously use math and we use graphs a lot in business and in the hard sciences, but that's not what I'm testing you here. I can do that in online quizzes. Here you're showing me that you can answer lucidly, clearly at a college level in one of the top, we are one of the top 100 business schools in the nation, and we're probably going to end up in the top 50 within about 3 to 5 years. So you're coming out of here with a high expectation of you. What was I going to tell you? I'm going to go through in this time we have together some things I think you should know. And then some questions. I'm going to throw out maybe about 20 questions, somewhere around there. And I'm not saying those will be verbatim questions on the exam, but I will hit at least 3 or 4 of the 5 questions in my narrative. Then it's your turn to ask me questions. If you ask me, is this going to be on the exam, and it's not, I'll say, no, that's not going to be on the exam. So it's worth your while not to sit here like I'm a TV show. You ask me, interact dynamically with me, and I can lead you along the way. to get a strong score on this. Now, the first test, I give you point out, you might have noticed in the syllabus, your first test is 5% of your grade for the course, your second is 10%, your third is like 15%. The reason is on the first test, you're going to suck. You're going to get hurt a lot. I don't mean to tell you that to hurt your feelings. I know you were all told by Barney that you're wonderful just the way you are. Here's the thing. Barney was a dinosaur. He's dead. He's been dead for 65 million years. He's a lube job and oil change at Jiffy Lube now. Okay, I'm going to have to, I'm shaping you, making you a stronger student through these exercises like this, and you're going to be really pissed at me. Some of you are going to come up here and say, well, that's what I said. No, that's not what you said. Well, why did you take off points there? Because you spelled that word wrong. What, is this an English class? No, I assume you did that in high school. Okay, but I'm going to, well, actually, I could put the exam up here on the overhead for you to see. I did that, I was just talking and it popped out. I never had so many people writing so furiously in my life. And I mean, whole exam was up there, and that's all I have for you today. I thank you. They were all boom like that out the door. Well, hell. Anyway. But like I said, you come back at me with some questions. After I've given you some, you come back at me with some questions. So that we can have an interactive experience. First, before I go, as I had told you before, some of these are just straight definition. You say what I told you. You can tell when I was giving you a definition. Did you notice I would stop and I would repeat the same thing again and I would go slowly? That's a definition. And if you have a definition from me versus a definition from the book, I'm the authority. Also, I will be able to tell if you went and researched on Wikistupedia. It's one of the worst sites in the world. If you knew the people who actually do Wikipedia entries, they're mentally ill idiots. I know some of them. They're my friends. They're the creepiest human things you ever want. Don't use Wikipedia for answers. Not my class. You can use it in other classes where the professors are lazy, not mine. And also Investistupedia. Don't use Investistupedia either. They're talking to idiots. Investopedia is for morons. You are above that level. They're looking for someone who's, well, I think I better learn a little financial literacy. Here's something. No, okay? And I warn you also, and I'll show you something here. As a matter of fact, maybe I ought to do that right now here. Before I go any further here, I probably should do this. I should not do this, but I will. Bear with me one moment here. No, I don't want to do that. Shoot, I can't do it here. Why don't I try this? I'm not going to be able to do it here. So let me go ahead with some questions here for you. What is market cap? What is market cap? Now, if you answer market cap is the number of shares outstanding times the price per share, you will lose all but five of the points. That's a formula. Don't tell me a formula. Tell me what market cap is. Go.
It's the value that the market assesses of a company.
Not exactly. You're close, but not exactly. Read through and see what you can find. Because it's not the total value. It is a specific part of the value. So now I'm going to go on here with a few more that are more definition-oriented, just to tune you up a little bit on that. Another one, what is the relationship between risk and return? Now that's actually about 12 words will be enough to answer that one completely. Oh, probably less fear than that. You got to be careful, though, when you talk. I'm leaving you a little bit astray with that question. Because risk is really not what we care about. It's a specific kind of risk. The risk that you can't get rid of. And it's not return that we care about. It's expected return. So when I ask a question like this, be careful that I'm not fully fleshing out the answer. Yeah?
Can you like give us an example of how you would want us to answer it, like your way?
You know my way. He knows my way. Didn't I use an example where you were supposed to be my son? Oh, okay. Well, you're my kid too, okay? And you know my way, you know? If you make a mistake, I kill you. No. Actually, you tell me. Answer it.
I would have to.
No, The compact answer. You would start the greater the risk, or you could say later in the course, I'm going to say the greater the non-diversifiable risk. But I haven't introduced exactly that specific risk right yet. The greater the expected return. That's the answer. That's the entire answer. If you know what you're doing walking into this exam, you should be able to come out of this exam in about 30 minutes. And that's going through. Reviewing and rereading your answers and making sure everything's right, okay? So be sure that you know that, I mean, okay. Another one that would be in the definitional or more just a compact answer, what does flight to quality mean? What does flight to quality mean? Oh, by the way, don't come to my office and say, I want to run a few of these answers by you. No, I'm not pre-grading your exam, okay? Get in study groups. Become friends with each other. Yeah, he's laughing. I know, you want friends for reasons that are unsavory. What? What is flight to quality? Flight to quality. You should know that one already. What is money and what are the three types? That's just here. I'm giving you a gift because I'm a nice guy. What is money and what are the three types? That is definitely a gimme question. It's not, oh, by the way, the answer is not M1, M2, and M3. It has to do with the kinds, different liquidities of money. A little bit deeper would be one, distinguish between the primary and the secondary markets for securities. Distinguish between the primary and the secondary markets for securities. Distinguish between the primary and the secondary markets for securities. Another one that is a little bit deeper would be, what is liquidity and what's the upside of a lot of it and what is the downside of a lot of it? What is liquidity and what is the upside of it and what is the downside of it? By the way, when I say two sentences, don't try to sneak in 3, 4, 5 sentences by putting commas where periods belong. God, that just bunches my boxers. Here's one that would be a little... What's the difference between the money market and the capital market? And give me an example of a security that would be traded in each. What is the difference between the money market and the capital market? And give me an example of a security that would be, well, issued in each of those. In other words, tell me what a money market is as opposed to what a capital market is. And tell me a security that would be a company would issue to raise money in the money market and a security a company would issue if it wanted to raise money in the capital market. Almost said the answer, part of the answer right there, Dave. Okay. What financial ratio would clearly indicate that a company was in default? What financial ratio would clearly indicate that a company, a corporation, was in default? That was an easy. Explain two costs critical to financial analysts that would not be provided by accountants. Explain two costs that would be used by financial analysts that would not be provided by accountants. Now, actually, I gave you like three or four. I could ask it the flip way, too. What costs are used by accountants that are relatively meaningless to financial analysts? Again, what costs are used by accountants, provided by accountants, that are relatively meaningless to financial analysts? Yes. Five, you answer four. Okay? Any four. Now, I do that because, honestly, in this kind of work, sometimes you will just go pig face blank on a subject, and it can just be a disaster as you're going along. But again, do not answer all five. Don't do that to me. Let me look at something here. Look at the exam. Oh, God, I asked that? Oh, geez. Oh, sorry. Give at least three factors that would affect the price of a bond. Give at least three factors that would affect the price of a bond. Now, I'll even tell you a couple of those factors right now. One would be the term of the bond, how close it is to maturity. Remember that one? The closer a bond gets to maturity, the closer its price gets to par. Okay, so there's one right there. And then there are other ones like the credit rating of the bond. Then there's one, the spread between the coupon and the yield affects the price. Show me that you get this. The bond price dynamics lecture was right on this topic right here, okay? So just hit that one on the head. It looks like a really tough question, and I can brag. Look, my students can do this kind of stuff, and you can walk around, I'm good. It looks like a tough question, but once you understand, I mean, bonds are not that mysterious in the sense that, yeah, the price approaches $1,000 as you get closer to the time when you're going to be paid $1,000. The price is clearly affected by how far the coupon is off from the yield on it. And, you know, the credit rating, obviously bonds that are junk bonds, speculative grade high yield bonds are going to have lower prices because of that. So there are a number of factors that you could throw in. Just give them to me straight up. Give me the, in that case, it, and I've told you this before, one of the tough things that you'll face on my exams is when are you supposed to just give me a statement and when are you supposed to give me more depth? Look for a word like provide, distinguish, give, as opposed to explain, compare and contrast. Those last two mean I want a larger answer. But for one like this one, if I say give me three factors, you just give me three factors that affect a bond price. Say what you have to say and then go out for a beer or whatever it is you drink. Oh, that's right, you're not old enough to yet, most of you. Okay. I can't possibly. Oh, okay. This is just my notes. Okay. What does the beta of a stock measure? What does the beta of a stock measure? Related to that, explain why the beta of an older couple's portfolio should probably be lower than the beta of a young single professional's portfolio. Again, explain why the beta of an older couple's portfolio should probably be lower than the beta of a single young professional's portfolio. And the operative, did you hear me say that word, explain? In other words, it's a little bit more in-depth. You'll use the two sentences. And don't be afraid to use compound and compound complex sentences. Not everything is these simple sentences that you see everywhere these days. It's just a stunning. You stretch your language capabilities. Let me look at something else here. Explain how what are the three tools of monetary policy available to the Federal Reserve? What are the three tools of monetary policy available to the Federal Reserve? A related question. That's not the same one. And watch it, which one you're trying to interpret. What are the three duties of the Federal Reserve? What are the three duties of the Federal Reserve? And one last one in the Fed line. I could ask you, how would the Federal Reserve use open market operations to increase the money supply? How would the Fed use open market operations to increase the money supply? Now, you both, okay, both of you play a very, very heavy duty online game. Now, there is a 500-foot-tall boss that eats everything in its path. You, madam, are a level 400. You are a level 2. Now, which one of you is probably going to go up and face that boss down successfully? Yeah, it relates to the question that I just gave you, okay? Not in your, I'm not using you as a specific example of the question, just the fact that online gaming, I mean, you're what we send in to die on the gaming, on the raids. Anyway. Oh, by the way, just as a quick side that has nothing to do with this, I'm going to be having Economics and Finance Club speak and introduce themselves after the break, and I'm going to bring in hashers to give you the whole story of how cryptocurrencies work. So if you're interested in that, that'll be coming up real soon. They've got magazines and articles and all kinds of goodies to hand out to try to suck you into the world of the dark web and all of that. Who knows? Maybe one of you will get down and visit, meet Mariana. Okay, distinguish between the prior claim holders and the residual claim holders in a corporation. Distinguish between the prior claim holders and the residual claim holders in a corporation. Now I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't give you that question exactly the way I would ask it. But I did ask it on the exam. Everyone's circle, circle, circle. Okay, distinguish between the prior claim holders and the residual claim holders in a corporation. And again, I don't ask it exactly that way, but it is a crucial point. Now, for God's sake, I'm not saying that it's related to this, what I just asked, but I'm not saying it isn't related. Basically, what I'm saying is that I'm not saying. Okay? So here's what you could do that would get you major points off. If you say, well, the stockholders and bondholders have the residual claim or the prior claim, or the bondholders and the debt holders have the prior claim. Part of that is a very good answer, but part of it shows that you fundamentally don't understand what a bondholder is, if you say that. And it's surprising how many people will write that. Don't write that. It will show that you don't understand what bondholders are. Okay. How are prevailing interest rates related to asset value? How are prevailing interest rates related to asset values? This is actually a short answer. But it is a, I classify this as a medium hard question. It's a short answer. If you're going more than one sentence, you don't have the answer. You just don't. It's actually a compact answer, but you have to understand, and I actually talked about this just a couple of lectures ago, and I've mentioned it in actually a couple of other lectures too. There is a distinct relationship between asset value and interest rates in the larger environment. That's why one of the reasons that I'm standing on my ground that we are going to go into a pretty severe recession. The signs are building very strongly now, even more strongly than when I called it a couple of weeks ago on my Twitter pages. It's your turn now. I've given you enough. Now it's your turn to ask me some questions. And again, if you... you do get a 4x6 note card for the exam. Now, for God's sake, I had this moron. He printed up an 8.5 by 11 sheet full of information, and then he photo-reduced it down until he couldn't read it so that it fit on a 4x6 card. Genius. Really... And then I had someone who was wrote information on his arms once. Why are you doing that? You know, the bottom line is that you're not going to. That's good for your studying. Writing a note card is an outstanding. We know that it is, and you're very likely not going to use it on the exam because you'll already know your stuff. It's like the famous story of the father who gave. It had been passed down. It's a true story of a. Family that had passed down a bar of gold for, I think at the time that it finally ended, was for 12 generations. A bar of gold had been passed down from father to son to father to son. And none of them had ever used the bar of gold because it was the fact that you had the bar of gold that made you successful. Because then you knew that you could take risks and you could always fall back on the gold, but none of them ever did. Unfortunately, that bar of gold fell into the hands of the Nazis in World War II, and we know nothing about where it went from there. But anyway, that's why Nazis need to die. Your questions, please. Ask me something. Go.
For the definition of a beta, would this be what
you would say? No, I'm not pre-grading. Don't you do that. No, I don't pre-grade. Go ahead. Double-sided. I'm not going to go around and try to look at your cards. I mean, that's just creepy, hanging around that close to you. I don't know you that well. Other questions? Yeah, go.
We talk about the yield curve a lot.
I know, right? I've actually got a question that I was had in my question base, but since I'm not going to ask that one on this exam, and I am going to push it in the second half of the course again, you're absolutely right. That's something that I will ask, but not on this exam. Similarly, I will be talking, you'll see me talking more about stock screens. Really, on this exam, the only thing I'm going to really hit you with off stock screens is possibly market cap and beta. But there's a lot more on those screens that I could ask you, but that's in the second half of the course. Go.
Can you repeat the question on what does light to?
I thought I could just pull it off the top of my head, but there's no way I could do that. What was it? Yeah, what is flight to quality? Yeah. I thought there was some real deep thing I had asked about it, and I went and drew a blank. Interestingly enough, for those of you who are finance majors, a lot of what I'm teaching in here, I also go through in FIL 241, Financial Institutions and Markets, in a deeper way. So you're seeing the light version, and then they in the next class, it's a lot easier for you in that one. Go ahead. Flight to quality. Quality. I was offered a chance to advertise on a shirt, Red Robin Cheeseburgers, and I said, you'll have to give me a free one because it's the old Zenith logo. The quality goes in before the name goes on. Anyway, never mind. It's the hell with it. I try my best in this class. What else do you have? Yeah. Yes. Actually, remember that there's a fourth kind that's completely new to the world. But you have to give me only the three. And these aren't the M1, M2, and M3. That has only, strangely, it has to do with liquidity as well. But that's more, this is the one that has to do with the consumability of the money. It doesn't have intrinsic value, the three levels of intrinsic value money. Yeah, but I'm talking about the main ones are the one, do you remember the one with the moose? Moose. Think moose, okay? Always think moose.
Is that like the, that's not like the lady in the pies, right?
The lady in the pies, yes, that is. That's not the same as the lady in the lake. By the way, do they still sell a cereal called Orange Moose? It used a call for orange moose, call for orange moose. Critters now has orange moose, call for orange moose. Never mind. Okay, other questions? You had a question? Okay. Another thing that will critical on this exam is that if you are dragging down more than, it's taking you more than a few minutes, 30 minutes should be more than enough room for you to be able to answer all of the questions that are available to you. But bear with me one quick moment here. I might be able to do this. I don't remember, but I don't want to do that. I want to... just no, I don't want to do that either. Let me try something here. I'm going to have to do this way probably because I can't do it the way I was wanting to. So I'll do it this way. What the heck? Why did that happen? Facebook. Okay. Just so you go, I want to show you something here. Okay, bear with me one moment here while I show you something. Bear with me. Okay. Something very quick to show you here, if I can find it. If you are on Twitter, you can follow the grading of the exams. I'll be putting up a few things along the way while I'm grading on the hashtag prophecy. On the hashtag prophecy, you'll see, you can go there if you're on Twitter and you, if you understand how hashtags work. This is on my Professor Kring, at Professor Kring account. But you can follow what's going on that account. And you'll see, I'll just be commenting, okay, these are good. This was an answer that I'm not sure exactly what drug was being taken. But you'll also see some very attractive photographs of me grading exams. If I can. What's showing right there is my cat grading your exams. Now, that's a warning because my cat is a much harsher grader than I am. You notice that, see that coffee cup? That's coffee. Okay? And so this is what you're facing. Remember, when you're writing your answers, you're not writing them for me. You're writing them for my cat, Phineas, and for my coffee. Okay? Phineas. Exactly. Yes. No. He asked, is there any question about... Anyway, if you don't have any more questions, yes, go.
For a question similar to maybe the monetary policies that affect you, would that just be state them, or would you need to explain...
No, you would state them. And there's another one. I'm glad you brought that up. What is the risk premium in an interest rate? What is the risk premium in an interest rate? I'm glad you brought that up because I forgot that one. And if you're one of those people who thinks you're a genius finding my exams online or with your buddy who's going to hit you up for some money or for something degrading, don't bother to do that. The exams are, I flipped the exams and I've handed you this. So ignore the people who have the ethics of a toad and just work from what I've given you here. And I will be in my office tomorrow. Oh, that's the other thing. I will be in my office on Wednesday before class, this class, probably from about 2:30 until class time for any last-minute questions, okay? And, of course, I have my office hours tomorrow as well, but I will be in my office on Wednesday for about an hour before this class for some last-minute questions. Go.
What are your office hours?
They're in the syllabus. And also... listen to the podcast. Sit yourself down. Read your notes while you're listening to the podcast. You will be amazed at how much you have missed in your notes. And sure enough, just like I told you the first day, I have people say, where's that podcast site of yours? It's in the syllabus. Anyway, what else? Yeah.
Do you ask anything about the difference between how you set accounting and systematic class?
Actually, I could. I would frame a question. Here's the thing. I could frame a question. Remember the one about costs? Remember the different kinds of costs, what accountants would use? I could frame the question in terms of how do the costs that financial analysts recognize affect the financial profit versus accounting profit? How do the costs that financial analysts recognize affect the profit, affect financial economic profit as opposed to accounting profit? Again, how do the costs that financial analysts recognize affect the profit in financial terms as opposed to accounting terms? Okay, in other words, you need to, however you're answering the question, you're going to have to talk to me about costs, like historical costs, sunk costs, and all those costs that accountants use, and depreciation costs. And you're also going to have to address the far larger costs the financial analysts care about that accountants can't even talk about. What's the largest cost any corporation, any person, any household faces that no accountant ever puts down on any piece of paper? What is it? Bingo. The largest cost on earth that drives all of our decision making, far more than direct costs do, is not even in accounting statements. And as such, that massive cost makes the profit that we see as financial analysts a lot less than what normal people see. So in other words, you see everyone as invisible light. You see in the visible light spectrum. But you are actually able to see in the ultraviolet. And do you know what shows in ultraviolet? Zombies. So you look around the room and you say, oh hell, this room is full of zombies. While he's sitting there, oh, these are nice people, I got to know them. No, because they're going to eat his brains and he won't know it until they're eating his brains. He'll say, well, why couldn't I see that they were zombies? And you could. And you could simply say to him, that's easy. Professor C taught me. Well, what's so special about Professor C? And I step in and I say, I'm Batman. That's all I have for you. Go home. Yeah!